Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Catfish Corner. I'm Paul Scarbina, the Predators beat writer for the Tennessean, joined by columnist Gentry. Yes, it's been a minute since we've done a show, Gentry.
Yeah, it's I guess we've plenty to talk about. Paul, you were out a couple of months at the end of last season. I don't know if we want to get into that.
Well, I had a health issue, was out a couple of months, and then summer came and COVID messed everything up. But we're back, and we're happy to be back. We're gonna not look back too much, but we'll touch on some things, you know, that happened over the summer. But you know, a new season has begun. With that comes new hope, and it's a lot different looking team this season. Not a lot of new faces, but a lot of familiar faces gone. Of course, Ryan Ellis traded. Victor Arvidsson traded. We saw him last night. Nice little video tribute to him at Bridgestone. Pekka Rinne obviously retired. You know, so there's some new faces around. Some familiar guys who had been around and kind of been, you know, faces of the franchise are gone now. So, you know, we're three games into the season, Gentry. We're not going to sit here and break down everything that's wrong or everything that's right because it's just too soon to do that. But I think what we can do is we can talk just a little bit about how, you know, it's a little bit different of a feel. It's weird, you know, not having Pekka around. It's strange to see, you know, not seeing Ryan Ellis out there and not seeing Victor Arvidsson out there. So it's a little bit of an adjustment. But, you know, David Poile said over the summer and after last season that, you know, he wanted to go younger, and they're certainly trying to do that now. The results, we don't know yet. They won their first game of the season last night. They're in a really, really tough division with, you know, with Colorado and St. Louis and, you know, Minnesota and some of these other teams. You know, I really, you know, predicted before the season, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to have to really, really play over their heads, I think, to keep that streak going, keep that playoff streak going. But, you know, early returns so far, just general observations is, you know, this team is going to be competitive, but it's going to have a hard, they're going to have a hard time scoring, which is not unusual. It's pretty common. You know, so it seems like, you know, different faces, but kind of a lot of the same results.
So far, yeah. I mean, for what you could tell the three games in, but yeah, I think this is just another step in the progression of how much are the Predators going to buy into what John Hines wants to do, which is the, you know, hard-nosed physical approach, play defensive hockey, win games 2-1 with UC Saros having a good game. That's exactly what we saw Tuesday night against the LA Kings. Is that something that's sustainable for the course of an entire season to send a team into the playoffs? I'd say no, except they did it last year. So now I guess the question is, can you do it without Victor Arvidsson and Ryan Ellis?
Yeah, I think, you know, look, this team's always historically had problems scoring. You know, that's not new, and they've almost always played well defensively. And you're right, it's hard to count them out after what they did last year. I mean, they had a 1% chance of making the playoffs at the beginning of March, or less than 1%, and they made it. A lot of that had to do with UC Saros. You know, the big question this year is, can UC Saros do it for a whole season? And they're going to need him to, Gentry. I mean, this team's not filled with, you know, look, we've talked about Ryan Johansson. We've talked about Matt Duchene. We've talked about these guys. You know, if those guys can play up to their contracts, then the Predators can be competitive. If they don't, then it's going to be tough for them to ride UC Saros all the way to the playoffs for an entire season. I just don't see, you know, and of course, look, Victor was hurt a lot, you know, injuries kind of, you know, really hurt his career here toward the end. Even Ryan Ellis, you know, injuries too, you know, kind of contributed to you know, his decline. But he really bounced back after having, you know, a, kind of a down year. But look, those guys are gone, and it doesn't really matter. I mean, what matters is the now, and they have, you know, I'm looking at their lineup now, and I see a lot more, I see depth, but I just don't see that. Who are other teams going to be afraid of, you know, on that team to I mean, Philip Forsberg, again, it's the same old story. That's why I just, you have to kind of let the story play out to see. But I certainly agree with you, you know, John Hines is definitely trying to instill a culture. It's his first full season now with a full training camp. So it's prove it time after starts, stops and fits and everything else with interruptions and COVID and guys being traded and guys getting hurt and guys retiring. But, you know, the decision was made, you know, long before Pekka retired, that Pekka wasn't the starter anymore. And John Hines made that decision. He came in here and made a tough decision and sometimes not a popular decision. But he's shown he's not afraid to do that, which I think could be a healthy thing, especially for a team full of younger guys. The Predators went from being one of the oldest teams in the league to, you know, one of the top five youngest teams in the league, you know, basically over the summer. You know, David Poile used the term competitive rebuild, that regrettably, and when you got to redo it, that said a competitive, you know, label it a competitive transition. I think they can be competitive. I don't think they're going to get blown out of too many games because they play smart defensively. I just don't know that they're going to be able to score enough. And, you know, like I said, you can't just depend on UC Saros. But, you know, that's neither here nor there right now. It's you have to let it kind of play out. I tell you, one guy I did like and was impressed by a lot at the end of last season and the beginning of this season is Tanner Janot. He's physical. He's offensively capable. He does all the things, you know, that don't get a lot of love, that don't get a lot of recognition. You know, he does the dirty work, as they say. And, you know, to find guys like that is big, because the Predators have kind of lacked that in the past, where, you know, they kind of got bullied around a little bit and didn't stand up for themselves and, you know, kind of got run over sometimes physically by other teams. And Tanner Janot, I'll tell you what, on Tuesday night, he just steamrolled Drew Doty at center ice, perfectly legal hit, you know, and It was just one of those things where you just haven't seen that from the Predators a lot. And I think you'll see a lot more of that, because, these are guys who, you know, the Philip Tomasinos and the Tanner Janots and those guys are fighting to prove that they belong in the NHL, right? You don't have guys, you know, like the Victor Arvidssons or the Ryan Ellis's who have proven they belong in the NHL. You know, it's a different kind of hunger, and I think that really feeds a lot into what John Hines is trying to create here.
Yeah, I think you know, you mentioned the competitive rebuild, where, you know, I feel bad for Poile on this, as he keeps kind of
he keeps eating those words, but
he tries so hard to not give in to the idea of a full-scale rebuild. Like, he just, to him, that's like waving a white flag and saying, we are not any good, we need to scrap it all and start over. And he's not there yet, but as you noted,
he can't be there, and that's the reality.
That's where I was going with that. Yeah,
you can't get rid of Johansson's contract. You can't get rid of Duchesne's contract. There's a lot of years left on him. There's a lot of money left on him. So he went out and did, you know, he went out and used the options that he had. And that's probably the smartest options was, you know, is to, you know, you get rid of Ryan Ellis's contract, which hasn't aged well. And you get rid of Victor Arvidsson's contract, which, you know, hasn't aged well. And not that Arvidsson's was that much, but, I mean, look, you know, that's what he could do, you know, and he's trying to distance himself and distance this team from the mentality of the 2017 season. And I think that's a smart thing to do. And he's a general manager. You can criticize his moves and that's fair game, but I will give him credit for, you know, he's doing what he can do. Now, he did put himself in the situation by signing those guys, but who knew? I mean, you can't predict that far into the future that Ryan Johansson and Matt Duchesne are going to completely fall off a cliff, you know, comparative to what they're being paid. You know, you just, all you can do is hope that they get back to close to that. So that
right. And you, well, you say earlier, kind of going back to that with Duchesne and Johansson, how often are we going to hear this over and over and keep believing that they can, that they're capable of doing it? I will say the first three games of the season, not to, to just get overly negative on this, but I think it's been encouraging to see the two of them on the same line. With Duchesne has seemed receptive to move out to the right instead of center, and I think Johansson had a nice goal in the second game. Duchesne had the game tying goal on Tuesday night against the Kings. So there's been, it's very, very early, obviously, but there's been some production at this point. And I think I think it'll probably work out better to have the two of them on that line with Forsberg. Now, I don't know.
Well, they did it at the end of last season. They did it at the end of last season too, when Arvidsson was hurt, and you know, they showed some signs of being, you know, some signs of life. You know, the question is, can they continue to do that? And they're going to have to do it on a consistent basis. Look, when you're making, you know, top line money, you have to perform like top line players night in and night out, pretty much. You know, you can't just, you know, be good for short periods of time and then just disappear. And, you know, I think that's kind of plagued them in the past. And you know, I really like, you know, the herd line. I you know, Yakov Trenin is another guy I really like. He's really him and Tanner Janot are really what you know, in hockey circles, coaches and players like to call identity players, where they, you know, they play, they are the identity. That's what the identity, you know, the Predators don't want to be a team that you could just walk all over and run all over and push around. And, you know, and now, you know, there's some fight in these guys, you know, I'm not just talking about dropping the gloves fight, but, you know, just physical play, you know, finishing checks and forcing off, you know, forcing offensive players to be, you know, at least not be, maybe not be afraid, but at least be aware that, you know, hey, this guy's coming at me, I better do something, you know, and instead of just not worrying about it. But, you know, the Central, I mean, four teams I'm guessing are going to make the playoffs, could be five in that division. I just don't see the Predators as one of them. And that's just from what I've seen so far. I know last year was last year, but that was impressive. I mean, nobody thought that was coming. But, you know, look, they signed Mattias Ekholm to an extension. They have not signed Forsberg to an extension. I know we've talked about this. You've addressed this. What they do with Forsberg is going to go a long way toward, or what Forsberg might decide to do with them is going to go a long way toward telling us what a competitive transition or competitive rebuild really is. Because if Forsberg doesn't want to stick around, and he could probably go somewhere else and get more money, they better ride him all the way to the postseason if they don't get anything in return for him. Or if they're out of contention, I see them, you know, they'll be able to at least get some draft picks for him. You hate to lose him for nothing. But, you know, Mattias Ekholm made it clear from the beginning that he wanted to stay here and made no secret about it. Philip has been more, you know, giving you the company line of, you know, I'm just focused on this season and playing the best I can play, and that's out of my control. When I asked Mattias about the contract extension before he had signed it, he said, I would have signed it yesterday. So, I mean, I guess no surprises when it comes to that, all that kind of stuff. My computer's going kind of wacky here. Just really not a lot of surprises. Just, you know, we're just going to have to wait and see how, you know, who's going to emerge from the younger players. And who's going to step up among the veterans? I mean, Roman's going to probably have a Roman year. You know, Mattias is going to have a Mattias year. I mean, those guys are pretty steady. You always know what to expect. The question is, you know, signing UC, you know, to an extension. He proved he could be a number one goalie. Now he has to prove that he, you know, can remain a number one goalie. You know, that's...
Well, and good enough to carry the team. I mean, that's really what we're talking about with UC. I think it's going to... And the thing is, again, you would say probably not, but he did it last year down the stretch. There's no question.
Well, I think a lot of that has to... I mean, I think he is good enough. I think the question is, can they put the right players in front of him defensively to help him? Because no goalie does it on their own. I mean, you can't... He stood on his head for last two months of last season. But... You can't put it all on them. Speaking of which, we happened to, Gentry and I were at some watching some hockey players at a football field today.
Getting sunburned doing it.
Yeah, a little bit of a preview for the Stadium Series game that's going to happen at Nissan February 26th against the Lightning. Gary Bettman was there, Victor Hedman was there, Roman Josi, Matthias Ekholm, all the brass. They had a little outline of where the rink's likely going to be in the middle of the field. You and I were at the Winter Classic in Dallas, which is a pretty neat thing to see. I think it'll be cool to have outdoor hockey in Nashville. I know they've been wanting to get a Winter Classic here. I don't think that quite could work out with the way football season is, with the Titans schedule. But of course, I think it'll be a cool thing, something to look forward to. Obviously, I think that's right after the Olympic break, because February you're not going to see much hockey, not much NHL hockey. Because they're for the first time in a while, the NHL players are going back to the Olympics. I think the Predators have 5 or 6 or 7 guys who could be. John Hines is going to be coaching the assistant on the U.S. team. It'll be pretty cool to experience all that. I'm looking forward to the lead up to it, just kind of seeing how they get it all prepared and get ready.
Yeah, I think it'll be neat. I don't know. Today was you referenced the press conference. They brought in, so you had Gary Bettman, you had pretty much anyone for the Preds, Sean Henry, David Boyle, Josi and Ekholm, like I said. But you also had two Lightning players who made the trip to Nashville just for what, like a 30-minute press conference?
Yeah. Yeah,
they were thrilled about that.
Well, Sean Henry, the Predators CEO, he of course worked for the Lightning, and Bill Wickett, a new person they just hired in Nashville, came from Tampa. So there's ties between these franchises, and I think that there's a lot that has a lot to do with why these two teams are playing. And Tampa, two-time defending Stanley Cup champs, have never played in an outdoor game, which is crazy
to
me.
Hard to believe, yeah.
So, I think that, they kind of worked together and made that happen. But, you'll get to see some, you get to see some good hockey. I'm looking forward. It's not even the game so much, right? It's just the spectacle of it all. When we were down in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl, I've been to outdoor games before, but it's every time you go to one, it's like, I don't know. It's like I don't even know how to describe it. It's just like you take a basketball court and put it in the middle of a football field. It's just a different feel. It feels special. It feels bigger. It just feels like a big deal. And in the middle of a long season, that could be refreshing. Now tickets go on sale tomorrow for this game to the general public. And from what I'm understanding, they're not real cheap. I don't know how much.
I've heard the same. I've heard three figures.
Yeah, I don't ever watch that because I hardly ever buy tickets. But it's going to cost you if you want to go, I'm guessing. But it'll be one of those. I'm sure Nashville knows how to throw a party, so it'll probably.
There'll be people. Yeah, they're not going to have to convince people to buy tickets to this. I think it'll be well attended. I think they know that too. I think people in Nashville get excited about this, and I mean it's good. I don't know why we heard about it today. From a promotional standpoint, when the game's in February, but we did, so here we are talking about it.
Well, of course, yeah, we've known about it for a while, but they did their TV stuff and their promotional stuff today, and we'll have a lot more coverage on it, leading up to the game.
I just hope at that point in the season that that the Predators are still playing for something. You would hate a scenario where they have this big event. And they're bringing in like a legit contender, one of the very best teams in the league, to play to just beat up on a weak Predators team that's like out of contention in late February. I just hope that isn't the kind of game it ends up being. I don't know. I think you said earlier in the podcast that I think we know the Predators they're going to fight. I think they are a little outgunned this year. Obviously, the predictions are what they are. I don't think I saw a prediction before the season started that had the Predators higher than seventh in their division. And yeah, I get it, and I don't know what we're gonna see, but there are a lot of people who follow this league who think that team is not going to amount to much.
Well, they, I mean, with the exception of the last couple of months of last season, they've kind of earned that over the last, you know, 3 or 4 years, because they haven't really gotten better. You know, that's why Poyle made all those moves. But you know what, Gentry? I think, you know, there's another game Thursday night. They're playing against Saturday and Sunday. This you know, the season, well, it's a full season for right now. Hopefully it stays that way. It is a condensed schedule because of that three-week Olympic break. So it's a lot like last season. There's tons of back-to-backs. There's going to be a lot of games. You're going to find out a lot pretty quickly about you know, what you're looking at, because, you know, it's not – I mean, there's 3-4 games a week. And it's going to be fast paced, so we'll know pretty quickly how things might shape up. But that'll do it for this edition of Catfish Corner. Hope you subscribe to Tennessean.com if you haven't already. And if you haven't, why not? Remember to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever it is you get your podcasts. I get mine on an app called Podcasts. Drop us a review or rating while you're at it. Gentry will do it again next week. How about that?
All right. Yeah. Hopefully, you know, we get back into it. It's a new season. It's exciting, and you know, we'll try to give people some entertainment over the course of the season. Let's see if the Preds do the same.
Yeah. Well, for Gentry, I'm Paul. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.